Coming up on podcast 1359, your answers to question of the week this week, and we give our Patreon thanks as always. Stick around. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to Evening News Daily, Sunday edition. We'll answer your question of the week replies, asking about range this week. So my buddy Tom Malogny finally did his 70-mile-an-hour highway range test on the Lucid Air, and at a constant highway speed, did 500 miles on the dot, only 20 short of the EPA range. So I was asking you, do EVs ever need 500 miles of range? A load of answers this week, so thank you very much to everybody who sent them in. I've included most of them actually this week because some personal stories and really fascinating answers. We'll start with Rajiv's. Rajiv Narayan says 250 miles has been more than adequate for me. As I drive on average 80 miles a day, increasing availability of reliable DC fast charging infrastructure, I think, is a better option than building 500 mile range vehicles. Since the industry is currently battery supply constrained, and better charging infrastructure would allow us to create more EVs with smaller batteries. The typical ICE driver is not very concerned about range due to the ubiquity of fueling stations. Listener Ed Cortine says, I think the ideal EV range is 300 miles. This gives a reliable year-round 200 miles between charges and a buffer available. To find a working charger, if the first one you find is busy or not working. Most importantly, on a long journey, this ensures you take a regular 30-minute break whilst you're charging. Hi to the Plug Seeker and his YouTube channel. My answer would be no. It's been my experience each time EVs reach a new maximum range, I hear anti-EV critics say, oh, well, call me back when they can do 200, 300, 400, 500 miles. Fossil cars can do 500 miles, but there's no reason we have to expect EVs to follow the model. There has to be a limit to where to put the extra battery weight, the resources, and the cost outweighing the range benefits. I personally would put that sweet spot between 250 and 300 miles of range. There ought to be a good choice at the 250 to 300 range, at a price the average person can afford. My reasoning being, the average person drives per day less than 30 miles. Hence, up to 300 mile range EV, in many cases, would run a week between charges. If doing a longer trip than 300 miles, you're going to have to drive on motorways for a good 5 hours. During that time, natural food and toilet breaks allow for top-up charging on rapid charges. Road safety recommends a minimum 15-minute break per 2 hours of constant driving. At the end of the day, when using battery resources, I'd rather car makers made two cars with 250 miles of range than one car with 500. Some great comments there. Michael Wise says, for EVs, range is key. Basis of things like competition, horsepower in muscle cars, more is meant to be always better. But like horsepower, it's not a question of need, but want. Range is a barrier to adoption at 500 miles. It's hard for anyone to argue that an EV won't get them to where they want to go. As range increases, particularly in more affordable models, the hurdle to buy becomes lower and adoption's faster. Nick Christen says, yes, EVs definitely need that type of range in the US. While we now live somewhere that actually has charger access, nothing allows us range to get out to see either of our parents, which is why we moved to where we did. One family is over 300 miles away, which some are hitting with leftover range. The other is over 350 miles away, and there's no chargers close. The good news, they say, is that there is an EV charger on the way to the 350 mile house. The maps say there's a charging station to the other house, but that would be a rough thing to get stuck on, since there's nothing else around. With that said, I'll not be able to afford any EV for the foreseeable future, says Nick. Zach Mosley from the Classic Car Club of Manhattan says, a solid no from me. I've had the great privilege of driving the Porsche Taycan Cross Turismo in recent months, and the 220-ish real-world miles I pull out of it, even in cold weather, is fine. While I'd enjoy having a bit of a buffer with a 300-mile range car eventually, I can't see ever needing more than that. What I do want is a car that can deliver 250 to 300 miles with less weight, less cost, and greater efficiency. As awesome as the Taycan is, imagine how much better it would be with a battery that weighs half as much. You don't need to haul around the extra weight, and in a performance car like the Taycan, dropping weight would pay massive dividends in handling, braking, and acceleration. I can't wait to see where this goes. Craig Matsura says, here in the US, especially out west, there are long distances between towns and charging and all that, so it's really important that we have more range in our vehicles. Some places are more rural and don't have access to infrastructure. Stefan Sevenkotchis says, this week's question of the week is simple. No, no one needs 500 miles of range. But do we want it? Assuming cost is not an issue. I can't remember the exact data, but the 42 miles of range the original Volt gave did between 80 and 85% of use cases. I would assume that less than 1% of use cases actually require 500 miles of range. Hello to Jim in Toledo, Ohio. Says, I think the current mileage on average vehicles is determined by the fuel type. It costs more in space and efficiency to lug around 30 gallons in a Honda Civic than a diesel Ford F-350. But the Honda Crosstour has an 18-gallon tank capacity and goes something like 460 miles. Between fill-ups. And while the average driver should not go more than 3 to 4 hours of driving without stopping, future self-driving vehicles won't have that limitation. The battery technology soon will be such that 500 miles may be the minimum. If the technology is cheap enough, then more mileage will be a selling point. 800 miles? 1200 miles? At what point do you stop? I think mileage will be sold in a more flipped around way. Rather than selling a normal battery and charging extra for the range, the normal battery will go very far and there'll be a reduced range battery that gets the reduced sticker price. Hi to Jasper, who says, I think 500 miles should honestly be the target for most EVs at 70 miles an hour. To shut down range anxiety, solid goal, 400 miles. Consider battery degradation, using heating and cooling, having three other passengers, running chargers and auxiliary devices, and most importantly, driving in the fast or toll lanes, typically up to 85 miles an hour, he says, where he lives particularly. It's becoming an embarrassing trope here to see Teslas strolling along in the slow lane. There is definitely a solid market demand for low-range vehicles for day-to-day driving. But here in the US, most people eventually need a long-range option for non-day-to-day things like long business trips, beach trips, airport runs, and the like. Hi to Nelson from Canada, living in the prairies of Canada. The current temperature is minus 28 degrees Celsius. As EV enthusiasts, we all know how the cold can affect range. Earlier EVs would lose up to 50% of their range in the cold, so 500 miles doesn't seem outrageous in this climate. However, newer EVs seem less affected by the cold due to better battery chemistries and newer tech like heat pumps. It would be interesting to see what the real-world range would be like here. I also wouldn't mind volunteering to test it out, says Nelson. Yeah, you and me both. Lucid can send me one if they want. I'll do some UK testing for them. Take a couple of years, maybe. I'll get back to them. We can dream. Hi to Philip Wags, says, I had a 551-mile road trip from DC to Charleston this past Friday. It happened to be 20 degrees Fahrenheit and blowing snow and ice the entire way. The trip required 4 additional charges at Electrify America on I-95 in my Audi e-tron. I had the family with me and we set the cruise control at 75 for the most part while keeping the cabin well heated. But at the end of the day, I was lucky to get 180 miles of range with charges varying from 80 to 96%. I will say that there was hundreds of pounds of ice on the car. No heat under the bonnet to melt it, which also exacerbated the problem. But 4 stops added 2 hours to an already long trip late at night. And yeah, Walmarts and Targets are closed at 2:30 a.m. So the ride was spectacular. The Audi cruise control worked spectacularly in the elements, and we felt safe the entire time. The car is more comfortable than any I've driven. However, the cold weather range is for early adopters only. 2 hours of charging with a family in the car is testing at best. All right, stick around. Coming up on the podcast very soon, we'll hear from Ian and Thomas and Kester and David and Lisa Allen and Matty and Jeremy and more on your answers to question of the week. Stick around. Okay, let's hear from Brian now. My answer to your question is No, I don't think the average person generally needs 500 miles of range, and it's probably a waste of resources for car makers to pursue an arms race. However, I'm sure luxury cars like the Air will push the range envelope, and that will always be cool as it trickles down to more affordable EVs. And number two, I live in California, and we typically have much longer driving distances than many. And many Californians love road trips. Even the fastest charging EV would add significant time to a trip from the Bay Area to LA or Tahoe. Real world range at 75 miles an hour that could get me 350 miles, which is to LA, or 250 miles from sea level up 6,000 feet in the cold to Tahoe, would make the decision to buy an EV far easier and to justify for our family. And that might mean EPA ranges that creep towards 500. Ian, in Germany, says, do we ever need 500 miles? No, but yeah. What we may need is a car that will go 250 miles in bad weather, in hilly terrain, and while towing. Any combination of these conditions can severely impact potential range, hence the need for higher range. That being said, such a vehicle would probably not be needed for 90%+ of the time, so the ability to hire such a vehicle would be more important than owning one. I wonder, Ian, if how listeners of this podcast feel if I were to suggest that on the occasion where you need to do big range, big towing, even a big vehicle, whether if that isn't available in battery form for the next 5 years, whether you hire a diesel for that, whether it's okay to aspire to get 95 or 99% of all of our journeys done on electric if we accept that once in a blue moon, we're going to burn something because that fossil fuel is at the moment the densest form of stored energy. I don't know. Like, I feel bad suggesting it, but it could be an answer to people that go, well, I need to do this journey. Well, that's fine. If you do it once a year on a family trip and that's your tradition, well, then, I don't know, maybe hire a van or hire something that will do it and not cause you inconvenience. But maybe every day of the year, drive electric when you're not doing that. Why buy a vehicle for the outlier? That's my question. I don't know how listeners of this podcast will feel about me suggesting, hey, one time a year for that 1 week a year, just hire a combustion car for the next until batteries catch up. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards that if we can do all of the other journeys on pure electric. I don't know. All right, Thomas says, at the moment, we definitely do need that range. There's so much FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. FUD, and you know, Twitter experts. Yes, oh, I come across those every day of my life. That have never tried EVs and don't drive more than a few miles every day. But they need, they need all of that range, they tell us. Probably most often, skeptics will say that they need maximum range until EVs don't match it. They're not interested. That's why we need cars with 500 miles of range, so that if it's needed, there is an EV to point at. It doesn't matter that a fraction of that range will only ever be used. And when EVs will be as common as combustion, no one will care. And even small batteries and shorter range are going to be absolutely fine. Same with ICE cars now. Most weekend cars, most supercars have such a short range, but no one cares. No one quotes supercar ranges with their tiny fuel tanks that if you drive them at speed, you know, you'll do a few laps and then you're back in to fill up again. Kester says, do we need 500 miles? Yes, we do. Not for practical reasons, because hardly anyone will need to drive that far. The reason we need it is for discussions in the pub. We need the nonsense in the press, looking for any way to throw shade. Intentional FUD from car manufacturers lagging behind the curve. Here's looking at you. Certain car companies that won't make anything but hybrids. Active resistance to the charging infrastructure industry. And he says, it's funny how when in the UK, Ecotricity was nurturing a bad reputation by neglecting the electric highway. No one complained about their, what is an exclusive agreement with the motorway service stations. But bought out by GridServe, replaced all the hardware. Everyone that I speak to loves GridServe. The charging price is incredibly competitive. What's GridServe? 25, 35p? Like for DC fast charging on a motorway, you haven't even got a detour from your journey. It's insanely good value considering how much money they're spending on the hardware. And all of a sudden, their competitors seem to have woken up and they've brought a complaint to the Monopolies Commission to say, oh, it's not fair that only one company can be at the motorway service areas. Interesting that, isn't it? Here's looking at you, the oil industry. Kester says, my neighbours like to nod wisely to each other and mutter about charging stations and infrastructure not being ready when they buy their new combustion cars. David and Lisa Allen say, yes, and we need a 300-mile EV, and we need a 200-mile EV. Different ranges for different trim levels. If the buyer wants a longer-range car, they should pay for the longer-range price. If they want 200 miles, they can buy the cheaper car. One of those let the market decide situations. Yes, David, yes, 100%. We are looking, I've got to tell you the story on the podcast soon about selling our first, our second EV, which was the Renault Zoe, second Renault Zoe that we owned, and we're going to sell it in the next couple of months. We've decided to move on from that, and before it's 3 years old, I'm going to be gutted to see that car go. I love driving the Zoe. And I'll tell you what we are moving to. But later this year, when we can afford it, what we would like to do is either, and it won't be for the next car, but it'll be in 6 months' time when we save up. It will probably be a used Niro with the small battery or a used Kona with the small battery, because 64 kilowatt hours is amazing. We don't need it. We just don't need that. And so, like, my wife loves the Kona Electric. I'm a bit more of a fan than with the e-Niro. But either way, it won't be the next car, but it'll be maybe the one after. I don't know. And that makes sense to us, the smaller battery, because we just don't need it. And those cars charge at, like, 70-something kilowatts when they're, you know, a low state of charge, which is enough for the occasional journeys that we take. Hi to Matty. I think there's a niche market for those who tow, like in the Nordics, but generally, no. I want companies to aim for efficiency, like the new Mercedes-Benz EQXX. That's the future. Save resources where they're best utilised the most. Two more. Jeremy from Chicago says, well, I'm going to wimp out on this one because the answer is yes and no, but you don't need a car with a 500-mile range if you can plug it in every night. What's the point? But not all of us can plug in every night. I live in a dense urban area and don't own a garage, so charging at a public DC fast charger is not unlike going to the gas station, which I try to do as little as possible. I'd love an EV with a 500-mile range because I could forget about charging for weeks at a time, much as I do now with gas. Yeah, good point. And finally, Roger says, range matters a lot for towing and cold weather. I'm not sure you'd ever carry a kayak or pull a trailer with a Lucid Air, but I have tossed it around waiting on Rivian and Cybertruck, though. Yeah, you know, those vehicles as well with the bigger battery packs, the Rivian, the Cybertruck, they are going to do some decent range, and you'll be able to throw your bikes, your canoes, everything in the back, even tow with those, and that's where you do need range. Great shout. Roger, what a brilliant set of answers to question of the week. I have loved it this week. Right. A new question of the week, and it's my turn to opt out of this one. We're taking a break this weekend with the family, so I won't have the time over the usual Saturday and Sunday to do this. So let's take a break from question of the week for 1 week, because no chance to make it this weekend. It'll be back next week. But we do want to say, as always on a Sunday, a thanks to all of our Patreon supporters. Our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. We have a new partner to announce this week on the podcast. Somebody signing up at this level is always amazing. That name coming soon. But for now, David and Lisa Allen, Bob Boothby from Millbrook Cottages, 5-star gold self-catering cottages. If you've been, let me know. What do you think about what Bob's doing down there with his family? We've been. It's amazing. Hi to Jukka Kukkonen from shift2electric.com with a number 2. Hi to Rajiv Narayan and Michael Lumley as well, all partners of the show. Thank you. And a quick mention for all of our executive producers, Adam Bruton, Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andy Nancaro, and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid, Björg Fuchsack, Bill Calhoun, Blunderbuss Jones, Brian O'Leary, Bruce Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Chad Lane, Charles Hall, Christopher Bath, Colin Hennessy, and their gang of Cam's EV, Craig Rogers, David Dysart, David Finch, David Partington, and David Prescott. Hi to DCEV, Don McAllister, who runs screencastsonline.com, Ed Cortine, Eddie Ragassa, Eric Hansen, Eru Kunyi Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, George Totorola, Granton Smith, Henrik Leisner, hello to Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, Ian Sear, Jacob Kuhn, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Javier Camelo Diaz Perez, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John Vandervoort, John, who is Beardy McBeardface at Ken TV's, John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Mason, Kester Sandbach, hi to Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, Mark Richards, Marty Young, Matty Yukimo, Mike Winter, Mike Wise, Nathan Gore Brown, Nathaniel Friedman, and Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs, Ohad Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Bramy, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts from... Oh, no, I've taken that bit off. Just Peter and D. Roberts. That's brilliant. Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raj Badwell, Raymond Rowledge, Realtor's Choice Photography, Rene Kumik, Rob from the RS Thinks EV channel on YouTube. Check it out. Robbie NY, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas Cook, Thomas J. Tias, Timothy Phillips, Todd Oakes, Tyler Voss, and the Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.